Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Brad walked into the church library and he sat at the table with the rest of the Tuesday Bible study group. This was a Bible study that Pastor Brad really looked forward to. Not that he didn't look forward to them all, but this one was meant to help him get ready for the coming Sunday. This group met and talked about all of the Bible readings chosen for the coming Sunday, and then tried to give Brad some insight or assistance in his sermon preparation. In this Tuesday group, there were two retired pastors who were members of St. Mary's. There were also four retired teachers, a professor from a local college that came on semesters when he didn't have Tuesday morning classes. There was a police officer who usually worked second shift and a lot of different weekends. He liked to be there so that he could hear what he might miss if he was working on the Sunday coming. There were also two moms whose kids were all in school and they had time during the day, but they had absolutely no time in the afternoon or the evening. There was also one non-member of St. Mary's who became a regular member of this Tuesday group. He was an attorney in town who didn't attend church anywhere but had accepted Pastor Brad's invitation to the study one week, and he'd been there ever since. Pastor Brad had picked up a bottle of water on the way in, and he greeted everyone as he sat down. He looked at one of the retired pastors and asked, "Richard, can you open us with prayer today?" "Happy to," was his reply. After the prayer, Pastor Brad asked Hannah, one of the moms, to read the lessons chosen for the coming week. Now, Hannah had a soft voice, but it was also strong and commanding. She was one of the group's favorites to have read the lessons because she encouraged you to listen, really listen. And this was a week when Brad wanted to really listen. This week's gospel was the parable of the sheep and the goats. And in recent years, Brad was haunted by this parable and by his relationship with Barry. As Hannah finished the readings, Pastor Brad said to the group, "Now, I know that we usually open this all up to the group for first impressions and such, but I want to talk with you about me and Barry. In the last decade or so, this parable always brings this up for me. Even when I knew Barry and was trying to help him and his family, this parable was always running through my thoughts. Can I tell you this story?" Now, the lawyer looked at Brad and said, "Now, aren't you supposed to start things like this with, 'Bless me, Father, for I have sinned?'" "Well, Phil," said Brad, "since none of you are my father, and I'm not sure really if this is about sin or just about failure or maybe about blessing or whatever, I chose not to start it like that." Everyone else was encouraging Brad to tell his tale. Pastor Brad didn't usually start like this, since the study was meant to help him with his sermons, so everyone was interested to hear what he would say. Barry was related by marriage to members of a congregation that I served. All right, here it is. He was Dave's sister's husband's nephew. And the first I heard of Barry was when Dave, a member of my congregation, asked for prayers in church. Barry was in jail, and his case review was coming up, and Dave was asking for prayers, and so we did. We prayed for Barry by name for at least 6 weeks prior to his judicial review. I also went to the courthouse for that review after Dave asked if I could be there. Now, at that judicial review in the courthouse, that's when I first met Barry, and at that review, he was approved for release. So Sunday, 2 weeks after, Barry came to church with Dave and his wife Molly, and he thanked us all for prayers. He was a young man who looked far too old to be under 30 at the time. He had an open smile as he spoke to members of the congregation, and it made us feel really good that we could help, even if it was in just a small way. He attended off and on for about 3 or 4 months, and then we didn't see Barry again until there was a death in the family. Dave's brother-in-law's brother was diagnosed with cancer and died within 3 weeks. Barry was there for the funeral that I did, but he looked rough and almost strung out. Now, many people greeted him, but there was very little conversation. I later heard from Dave that what he came for was that he was looking to find out if he had been written in the will. Dave told me that he had found and lost 3 jobs since his release and was now hanging out with some of his old friends who had helped him get to jail in the first place. Over the next couple of years, Barry would show up when Barry needed something that the family was either unable or unwilling to provide. Once Barry came with a new girlfriend and her son and was welcomed and greeted, we just loved to see him. But he and the girlfriend and her son were hungry and they were out of food. And so some members of the congregation very happily filled their pantry and their refrigerator. The next time Barry showed up, the girlfriend was out of the picture, but he needed a coat for winter, and someone found one of those for him. We were always trying to help. Little did we know that by that time, he was using. First, it was just marijuana with his friends, and then that progressed straight into heroin. So the next time I heard of Barry, he was in jail again, this time for possession with possible sale. I even went to go visit him in jail to try to convince him to enroll in a county-sponsored program that was going to help with recovery. They would help to dry him out and then get through the first 90 days of recovery. Eventually, he did sign up for that, and that was when he met his other girlfriend. This girlfriend had a daughter, and they were both really trying to be good to the daughter, to each other, but as they were doing that, they were struggling to stay sober, to work, to live. Again, we tried to help as we could. Then Barry showed up into my office, weeping, trying to tell me that his girlfriend had OD and died when there was fentanyl mixed in with her heroin. I did her funeral. But Barry really went off the deep end after that. He stole from his grandmother and other relatives, including Dave and Molly, and then just sort of dropped off the face of the earth. I would hear reports of Barry if he was seen in the area. The family had given up all hope. He came to speak to me once to see if I could help him get into a medically assisted treatment program for his heroin addiction, which I gladly did. He was actually doing really well on that program. But as he came out after getting his injection, someone sold him cocaine in the parking lot, and there that went. That's when things really got scary. See, heroin depresses you, and cocaine hypes you up, and from cocaine, he graduated to methamphetamine, and there he was arrested for violent acts while he was high. It was also when he came to my house, not to the office, but to the house, and he started scaring my family. I had to end it all at that point in time. I would no longer see him, but I would pray for him. And in fact, I still do. Through all of that stuff, Pastor Brad continued, this parable of sheep and goats would run through my mind. We fed him and we clothed him. We gave him plenty of coffee to drink. I visited him in prison. I saw him when he was ill. The congregation and I, we did everything that we could, everything we see in this parable. We really tried to love our neighbor no matter how hard it got, and it doesn't seem to have done a thing. This is why this parable causes me mental stress. But more importantly, it's why it causes me even theological and faith stress. Pastor Brad took a long drink from his water bottle while the rest of the group let that story sink in. It's quite a story, James said. James was the other retired pastor in the group. You know, I know I've dealt with some people like that, but not for anywhere near as long. And I can see how this story makes you connect to this parable of Jesus. Pastor Brad was nodding. Hannah said, I remember talking to Daphne. After you explained this parable to her once, you told her that Jesus is not telling us what we must do in order to be sheep, but rather that Jesus is urging us to love. Again, Pastor Brad nodded and he said, yes, that is exactly what I told her. It's exactly what I believe, but that also shows how difficult it can be to know something, even to know it with all your heart, but not to be able to live like it's true. That's the faith dilemma to me. Craig, the police officer, said, "It sounds to me like you and your congregation did exactly what Jesus is urging us to. You didn't ignore a brother in need, even when he kept coming back and back and back." You see, I see that behavior a lot at work, especially within the group of people trying to recover from any addiction. Most of them are really earnest about that desire to kick the habit and recover, but many of them are weakened by their lives and experiences, and they fall a lot, kind of like sinner, right? But the truth is that many of them don't have a resource like you all were for Barry. You kept trying to love him, you kept trying to help him, you kept trying to care for him, even care about him. If he chose not to treasure that love, if he chose not to ponder it in his heart, that's his issue. It is not yours or the congregation's. That is so true, Richard said. We've all talked in recent weeks that Jesus is never asking us to succeed. You don't have to double the number of talents you get, but we all need to try and share the love. You did that. Barry's failure is not your failure. I hope that Barry's failure hasn't kept you from trying to do the same thing with other people. Pastor Brad was shaking his head. I try not to let it do that, but these memories come back every time. Now again, I know all of the things that you are telling me, so how come I don't feel that way all the time? I still worry about being a goat. Phil, the lawyer, said, "I think that we all do. We all worry about being a goat, and from what you all say in this group, we should all still worry about that and then trust in God's grace. Isn't that something you guys say all the time? We're never perfect. We can't ever be perfect. We try, and God loves us anyway. We try, and sometimes we succeed. We try, and sometimes we fail. We try, and sometimes we fall down, and we get up, and we come to communion, and we trust God." Isn't that true? Isn't that true if you're a pastor, or a lawyer, or a sheep, or a goat? Well said, Hannah chimed in. If we spend our time judging ourselves, either to the good or to the bad, we're taking that away from Jesus, who's supposed to be doing it, and we fall even farther, right? There were nods all around the table. Pastor Brad said, "Thank you all for listening to that story. Now let's get down to our study." You see, too often, we think that we're the ones who get to judge who is a sheep and who is a goat. Too often we are ready and willing to separate out all of those goats. But that's God's job in Jesus, and it's really going to be easy for him to do it when it is time. What we get to do is love one another, even when it hurts. Christ our King goes out before us, showing us the least and the lost, the ones who have been left out, and Jesus is encouraging us to love them all as we are able. This world needs God's love, and we get to bring it with us wherever we go. So let's. Amen.